B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, your calls as promised. Our buddy Cam's in Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Hey, Murray, don't worry. And Felger and the Kim Jong Belichick followers world, that he deserves credit last year for trying. He failed miserably, but hey, he tried. So that's really all that matters.
No. The narrative is that Bill purposely wanted Brady to fail so he didn't surround him with anything. That's asinine. When you draft a receiver in the first round, sign one of the highest paid receivers in the league, and then trade for another receiver. To say that he didn't surround him with talent purposely is ridiculous. If you want to tell me he sucks at the receiver position, now you're on to something. But to say that he purposely undermined Brady by not signing receivers is silly. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. And also, I love this notion that you came up with too, Felger, that the Patriots were going to be better on offense this year because Cam Newton was going to be nice to the receivers. And subtracting the fact that the same circumstances apply this year that you lost your mind about the last 2 years. Cam Newton spent no time with N'Keal Harry until they showed up at training camp 3 weeks ago, or Myers, or any of these guys. It was the same. How are they going to be better on offense without Brady? To tell me how that makes any sense.
So it does make sense. And I never said that Cam Newton would be nicer to them. I said that Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham would be nicer to them. And the fact that the quarterback believed in those receivers and worked with those receivers and invested in those receivers gave you a chance to have a better year from those receivers. I stand by that. Cam Newton's a little different, but the same thing should apply. If he, because he's new to the system and he's got to learn the system too. So there's just a little bit of a different dynamic there. But if Newton believes in N'Keal Harry and invests in N'Keal Harry, I'd like to think he'll get more out of N'Keal Harry. I think that's still on the table.
I mean, that perspective, which, by the way, I shared, at least with Stidham, not with Hoyer, was predicated on the idea that Stidham would be the quarterback and there'd be the offense would function better as a whole. That's all. It never said that they would score more points or that they'd be better in the red zone. It said that the overall communication and functioning of the offense would be better.
Well, and I
hate when people take stuff you say and turn it into something else.
Yeah, it's a tweaking to make you look bad. It's
and
a,
I just say, suck,
trick in the book.
Suck is suck. Who's going to get separation outside of Julian Edelman? So it doesn't matter who the quarterback is going to be. All these guys blow at that position. So it doesn't matter who it is.
We'll see.
Yeah, they're thin in a lot of spots. I mean, again, the receiver, the tight end, the defensive line, the linebackers. Like, did they bring a punter into camp, too?
No.
Didn't they bring a free agent punter in?
Yesterday they did, yeah.
Oh, they did yesterday?
Yeah.
So is Bailey hurt?
What happened to this kid? This guy's their best player.
Like, what the hell are they bringing a punter into camp for? Like, I heard that and said, you got to be kidding me. Now they got a place kicker kicking them off the outhouses up there, the porta potties, the punter's hurt. Like, all kinds of crap's going on.
Yeah. Kicker misses a few days to go to Kenosha, then he comes back and starts jacking them off the porta potties. Not what you're looking for from your kicker.
Well, unless that's what you're into.
Carlos in Worcester. Go ahead, Carlos.
So I got two things to say. I don't think Bill Belichick intentionally sabotaged Tom Brady. But the other thing I got to say is I kind of agree with, I think, Jim Murray. He could have done a little bit more to try to get him weapons.
What?
And that's all I got to say.
Again, you've just take out the word intentionally. He sabotaged Brady by surrounding him with crap, but he intended to surround him with good players.
Yeah, all right, so fine. Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't actually buy into that narrative that he did it on purpose.
Thank you.
He just sucks at drafting.
Okay, done. He picked the wrong guys. He undercut Brady by surrounding him with crap, but he meant to surround him with good players. You don't sign Antonio Brown to throw your quarterback under the bus.
But I also don't think it was top priority for him to actually find or maybe do his due diligence to bring in wide receivers to help Tom either. So maybe it was just like, I'll get this klutzy kid from Arizona. A lot of upside with N'Keal Harry. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you, the N'Keal Harry thing should really start to worry you. Like, you know, first round pick, and they drafted Michelle in the first round. Was that the year before him?
Yeah.
Like, you look at that and say, wow, you used two first round picks on a running back and a wide receiver who sucks.
And they both suck.
Like, what a mistake that'll be if neither of those guys pans out.
Don't forget, and Isaiah Wynn is also injury prone. They could have had Calvin Ridley, wide receiver with the Falcons.
Well, I mean, you know, he's your starting left tackle. That's,
when he's there.
Your head is still above water on that, but the running back and the receiver, woof.
Oh, that's two huge misses. Huge.
John in New Hampshire on the B's. Go ahead, John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Regarding the Bees Game 5 effort, I got two quick statements. I'll be faster than the Massachusetts driver blowing through a New Hampshire toll booth. So, number one, and I have a question for you also. So, number one, I think the Bees played their hearts out. Number two, I think Halak played the game of his life. I have no data to support that. And number three, I found the game incredibly entertaining, especially if you're a Bees fan, and right up until they lost. So
let me stop you at three. I'm pissed it's over. I would have liked a game tonight. Even if I still know they're not going to win the series and whatever, I would have liked to have seen them pull that game out and give me another one tonight. So, yep, I love the games too. Halak did not have the game of his life. He had the game of the bubble, okay, which was not saying anything because to that point in the bubble, he wasn't very good. But he played like that routinely for Montreal now 10 years ago when he took them to the East Finals. So he's had those moments before. He found it way too late for the Bruins in this series. And their effort against Tampa only got good when they were down 1-0. It wasn't that way to start. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to start. It wasn't good enough earlier in the series. So I don't know what is no moral victories here. For crying out loud. I'm going to jump this guy because Murray's been reading this in the updates all day today, and it is worth a good laugh.
No, it's comical.
Here's Tim in Salem on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, yeah. Shout out to Salem State Baseball. But I just wanted to know, what is your like opinion about the Red Sox pitching this year? I'm good in the past, but what can we do to improve it?
Tim, what's our opinion of the pitching? First of all, tell us who was the guy who was slated to start.
Well, it was supposed to be this lefty named Mike Kickham.
Okay. When's the last time he had pitched a Major League Baseball game?
2014.
Okay, so it's over 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you go, if it's been 6 years since you've been in the majors, you're generally done.
Well, you're still going to see him tonight because now he's not going to start. Who's going to start is a righty by the name of Robinson Leyer, L-E-Y-E-R.
Leyer. Well, that's the goaltender.
Yeah. He's taking a night off from Vegas. He's going to start tonight. He's going to go about an inning and a third, and then
You
got to kick him.
How old is Kickham?
Probably like close to my age.
41.
Yeah.
No, is it true? Is he 41?
No, I said 41.
But no, so I'm saying 41. Can we get an age?
If they're going to go with guys that haven't pitched in the big league since 2014, I want Perillo out there.
Seriously.
He's 31. Seems like he should be older.
That's what the other team. Yeah, Felger, that's what the other team's going to do to him. They're going to kick him.
Holy smokes. Like That is a story.
He's
got
a career record of 0-3 and a lifetime earned run average of
10 something.
10.98.
Their team ERA is over 6 right now. You know that? They're last in baseball. Mike, kick him.
Yeah, I want to kick him out of the rotation.
Chris in the car on the Pats. Go.
That's what I want to do.
Hey, guys. I have a question about Josh and a question about the book, Felger. Probably haven't got there yet. As far as I wanted to ask Perrello, Josh McDaniels. Big year. Wouldn't you say he liked Lamar Jackson, and now he kind of has an older Lamar Jackson and Cam, and is this big for him? And the question about the book was, I wonder if they talk about Bill opening up his world to Josh in the book.
Good one. Let me look up in the index. Here.
That guy's clearly cracking himself up.
All of his secrets, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that one, too. Oh, no, that's why Josh is coming back, because he's going to open the vault and give him the secrets.
Or he's able to go piss off to get out of my office.
Right.
I'm not telling you, Jack. Because, oh, by the way, apparently McDaniels wanted to draft. Well, this is what we understand. McDaniels loved Lamar Jackson, looked at him twice, wanted him at 31 in the draft that year, and
Bill locked him out of the draft room.
Bill shot a snot rock at him and said, well, you're the one that drafted Tebow. Good thing, you know, a lot you know about drafting quarterbacks. And then drafted who? Michelle? Was that the year?
Yeah,
I think so.
Ay, ay, ay. Belichick and McDaniels. I'll look in the index, see what's in there. If it's based on, if it's the same as these other things, it's just going to be what was reprinted in the Globe or the newspaper. How about a Celtics thought here? Sean has been waiting patiently in Hampton on Maz's guy, the Time Lord. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, my God. I'm still laughing at that Red Sox question. The Time Lord is Bill Russell compared to the Red Sox pitching staff. It's crazy. But, no, hey. No, I mean, honestly, I called in about a week ago. And, after that Philadelphia series, I think he looked terrible. But, somebody from the staff must have actually pulled him aside and really said, look, you need to be more active. You know, here's when he came.
Quickly.
We all want more from this guy. We all want more. Like, he is so athletic. He is so great.
like in terms of his athletic ability. Here's
Sean, just let me stop, because I think we all agree he's got incredible upside. Is the difference just the matchup?
Yes. It's the matchup.
It's not Embiid and Horford. It's no true center. It's Gasol, who's glacial.
Correct. To me, it's that simple. That Toronto doesn't have an athletic guy around the hoop. And so now Williams can get in there and he can make a couple of plays. I think it's that simple. I don't think there's anything more to it than that, which is why...
So you're still dumping on the kid.
Yeah.
No, it's not his fault. I mean, he's more athletic than a lot of guys who are his size.
That's not an
issue. You're saying he's
succeeding
by default.
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't think there's talent there?
No, I didn't say there is upside there. I just don't think he's all the way there. He's not winning on effort.
Okay, I didn't say he was all the way there. Is he getting there?
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he's got a ways to go yet.
You're not encouraged with the way he plays within the flow of the offense. He's passing.
I mean, encouraged by... Look, here's what I would tell you. Okay, I'm going to try to play the semantic game with you. Has he helped them out in this series? Yes. Okay, that's a big step for me, Murray. I think you should accept that. Now... Do I think, what was the other thing? Do I think, I can't remember the other part of the question.
Neither, but I got to write it down. It's right, one at a time.
Yeah, he's made a contribution in this series. Do I think he's made some major strides? No. I think there's an opening there for him to contribute. He's contributed because, again, there's space there in the middle. When he goes against Milwaukee, it's not going to be there, and I think he's going to have problems. That's what I think.
I mean, no one really expected this kid to play any meaningful playoff games.
Correct.
And that's exactly what he's getting.
Yeah. In the first half, but yes.
It still can't.
I mean, let's not go too far with it.
If he's so good,
why isn't he out there in the fourth quarter?
He saved because he's 22 years old or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So you agree with me?
Well, but, I mean, he's not a finished product. Yes, everyone agrees with that.
He has made a contribution in this series. Absolutely. Yes, I will grant you that. I will also.
Is he giving you more than you thought?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't think he's one of their best players. The best player should be on the floor during crunch time. I don't want him out there.
Okay, but again, you guys are reasonable. There are people talking about him like he's the key piece in the whole thing. He's the guy that brings them over the top. Until he can give them something competitive against good big men, then he's not close.
Okay.
He's not close.
Maz is still at it with the Celts. If you heard him yesterday, then you know what I'm talking about. We'll revisit some of that. Not enough for Maz. Again, you talk NBA basketball with Maz, bring a crowbar. So we'll revisit some of Maz's commentary from yesterday and pick up your phone calls on the Celts and everything else. Don't go anywhere.
Duggar and Maz. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
People always get pissed off when I say this, but honestly, I don't give a crap. Too bad. The Celtics could use a loss right now.
Oh, I love it.
They could use one. They've had it too easy in the postseason. 5-0. They breezed through Philly. You know, they beat these clowns in the first game without much of a fight. They need a little pushback. They need someone to kind of knock them on their ass a little bit so that they understand what's at stake to win a championship. These young guys especially.
You've said this almost the same exact thing about this very team some time ago, right? They could use a good ass kicking.
Yes, because I believe it. Every once in a while, that sport can get a little bit too easy sometimes. And so they need someone to kind of, you know, hand them a little humility so that they understand what's involved in winning a championship. You don't go 12-0 or 16-0 on the way to a title. You don't.
Give me a prediction for Robert Williams tonight.
Four fouls. I'm telling you, it's coming. He's going to have a night where he gets a crap ton of fouls. He's going to be a relative non-factor. You know, he'll have a couple of buckets on a dunk or whatever else. He'll block a couple of shots, but it won't be the kind of game it was the other day. He'll be in foul trouble, and they won't be able to play him.
Overall, a negative, won't have close to 18 minutes.
Correct.
All right.
Yep. I can almost guarantee it. Get the Bankroll Bulls, boys on the phone for that. I'll place that bet. What's the over-under on points for Robert Williams? Under! Under! I'm going under! Under! He's going to suck tonight. Mark my words.
Kemba steps into one for the tie. No good back iron. Offensively, Robert Williams, and he throws it back down. He lost his balance when he hit the rim. He's pulling himself back up now. He wasn't fouled, but he did have a spectacular follow dunk to get the Celtics within one.
Through the legs of Ibaka, 3-on-2 for Boston. Brown drives, misses the shot. Tapped up and in by Williams.
He was aggressive because he knew he had an offensive rebounder right there waiting. So good read by Jalen to be aggressive.
Brad Wanamaker in for the first time. Gets a Robert Williams screen. Down the right side, drop back to Robert Williams from 19 feet. Swish.
Go figure.
Wow.
What has Robert Williams done for you guys?
Yeah, he pretty much saved us. You know, I didn't think we were matching their pace in the first 5 minutes of the game, and his presence has made a huge impact on the game. Now we need other guys to pick him up.
Well, and partly because of his impact, you weathered that early storm from Toronto. But how do you flip from just surviving their runs to controlling the next quarter?
Their pace is way better than our pace right now. We're walking all over the place. We got to play at a different level. Rob gave us a chance here. Now we'll see if we can go to a different level.
All right, Maz, win some, you lose some.
Oh, it happens.
Unlike me, at least you're willing to make a stand.
But such emphasis on he's got to suck tonight.
Love
mark
it.
My words.
Thank God.
I sounded pretty confident, didn't I, Mark?
Yeah, he was pretty good, though. He's pretty good, Maz, and he's a factor. I'm sorry, he's a factor.
In this series.
You don't think he will be against Milwaukee?
I doubt it.
How about Miami?
Miami will be interesting to me because they have a similar guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be a good test. And so, honestly, it's almost a reason to...
When you say similar guy, you mean Olynyk? I mean, who's their... They don't have a pure center.
No, Bam...
Adebayo's 6'9". He's not like...
Yeah, well, what's Robert Williams?
Well, but that's more his size.
Right, but more athletic than what Toronto has. At least they have someone. So at least that's apples to apples. Like, I'll take that. Like, that's sort of what I'm saying is let me see when he's up against something that is close.
And you think Milwaukee know just because of Giannis or the Lopez brothers or something like that?
There's a lot of size in there. Again, how athletic is Embiid, really? I mean, he's got athleticism. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sell him short. But Williams wasn't a factor in the Philadelphia series. And so I just think it's, you know, I want to see it against a team that has some big guys and some athleticism in the middle. Whatever. I think this is a good matchup for him this series. And look, to his credit, he's making a contribution. I mean, he's 10 for 10. He made a jumper. He had a really good tip in last night, too, that I liked. It wasn't just you run of the mill tip in with nobody there and you tap it in and that's it. He had to reach over someone, make that tip in. I like seeing that. And I think there's a lot of potential there. A lot. So when I watched the game in San Antonio earlier this year, and I don't know if a lot of people remember this, he had 6 blocks in that game and was blocking guys out at the 3-point line. That was a game that opened my eyes. I went, oh, what do they got here with this kid? Then he got hurt and he kind of vanished again. And then I started watching him a little more closely and I see a lot of apathy out there. And, you know, I got no use for apathy for a guy who's that athletic and can rebound.
Okay. Maybe there's some movement with Maz. Maybe it's hard to tell sometimes. He's so reluctant to just follow what his eyes are showing him. But anyway, we can discuss it with everything else on the board. Chris and Raynham with the Patriots Thought. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. So after the Eagles Super Bowl, the Patriots had Hogan, Brendan Cooks, Gronk, Amendola, and then after that, we just gave up. We let them all go. We had Cooks, who was a 24-year-old, who still put up like 60 catches but seemed to struggle a little bit. And after that, we just gave up. Why was that? What was that? You can say that maybe Bill did try, but he didn't fully try. There was an emphasis on going away from the offense for 2+ years. They stuck a Super Bowl in there, but there was an emphasis of going away.
Chris, be fair. At the time, did you second-guess that Cooks trade, or did you say masterstroke? They got a first-round pick for this guy who was running around in circles with his head cut off in that Super Bowl and getting knocked into next week? You love that trade. Be honest.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm just saying you can look at all those moves now in hindsight and say at this moment they were dismantling the offense. They weren't putting an emphasis on the offense. They got rid of talent for some reason or another. There was a reason that they had made a concerted effort.
I don't agree with you.
Actual talent. And I just have one quick question for Big Jim. Do you feel the excitement this year that you usually feel? Because I think a lot of people don't feel that excitement. I don't know if it's coronavirus, but I tend to think it's because Tom Brady is not the quarterback.
I feel the excitement for the team in Tampa, if I'm being completely honest.
I think it's the preseason is hurt. No preseason is hurt.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, if you had watched Cam Newton run out there and, you know, run around in a Patriots uniform.
I'm interested because they have him.
It would whet your appetite. It would prime the pump. And for most of you, you would have had a game or two on the schedule where you're going to go to, you know, Foxborough and tailgate. And so you'd be, so the whole thing is off.
Yeah.
But is excitement level less because Brady's not here?
Yes.
I would hate to think that it's substantial, though. I would hate to think that that's substantial, that you're getting it. You folks are that fair weather. You're just that casual. You're casual fans. You're just NBA fans. It's just like, just about the superstar. And if he's not there, you don't really pay attention. Is that what's going on out there?
Many of them are.
We're spoiled.
I don't think so.
We're spoiled.
We did this. No, 20% correct. Of the fan base. 20% of the fan base is, you know, Johnny come latelys. Let me hop on the bandwagon. Mike, the Brady departure is a massive thing.
I'm sorry.
Massive.
I mean, if we were talking about, well, Stidham, I could get myself into because I'd like to see what the upside is. If it was Hoyer, if it was what you wanted, I'd be looking forward to this season like a root canal.
But I would also tell you that I don't think it's permanent. I think it's a hangover. Like, Brady's gone, and it's hard for people to sort of amp up for that again, especially without a preseason. That's a huge point. Absolutely.
I mean, I think Newton to the Patriots should be a big story and should be a big draw. It should. I'm not the biggest Cam Newton fan, but you are. I mean, people are. He's a hugely dynamic, polarizing, huge Q rating kind of guy. And you're pairing him with Bill Belichick to follow Tom Brady? That's a big-ass story that should have a lot of interest.
Yeah, and I think it would under normal circumstances.
They're infinitely more interesting than I thought that they would be a couple of months ago.
I mean, you know, if Newton... People haven't seen him.
Right.
Right. So I think that lack of the preseason hurts.
They haven't seen him. They haven't even seen much of practice.
Curious, interested.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, am I curious and interested? Yes. Am I excited? I'm excited for the Bucks. Brady.
I'm excited for the whole back and forth. What's going on in Tampa? What's going on in Foxborough? Can't get enough of it. Kevin in the car on the Celts. Hi, Kev. Kevin. Okay. His comment line said, Kyrie versus Kemba. You're willing to admit that Kemba Walker's a better player on this team than Kyrie Irving?
Key phrase being on this team?
Oh, my God.
Well, you obviously chose your words carefully there. You wouldn't have just said better player.
So you know what? I'd say on any team. I'd rather have Kemba Walker than Kyrie Irving on any team.
Who's got more talent?
Oh, big whoop. Who's the better player?
No, I'm just asking the question.
Who has more talent, James Harden or Kemba Walker?
James Harden.
Okay, who'd you rather have? Oh, Maz, you know
you
it's Kemba Walker.
Harden.
You hate Harden.
Depends what my roster looks like.
Oh, Maz, stop it.
It depends what my roster looks like.
At some point, the talent's not worth it. And Kyrie Irving, James Harden, there's guys that reach that level. You know it. Carmelo Anthony, there's a lot of guys where the talent just ain't worth it.
Yeah, this team's not about Kemba Walker. That's all I'm telling you.
And that's why he's a perfect fit. He's close to Kyrie Irving. And he can fit and work with everybody else around him, and you'll be a better team in the long run because of it.
Yeah, he doesn't have Kyrie's ego. He's not nearly the a-hole. So in this group, yes, better fit with this group. Kyrie has more talent.
I mean, you said no to Taylor Hall yesterday. I know it's a different sport, but sometimes just because a guy's more talent, you don't take him. If he's
correct.
A complete a-hole, he's going to poison your locker room.
Correct. And I've admitted now that with Kyrie, if he's your leader, you're porked. If he's the second guy on your team and you got LeBron to kick his ass and keep him in line, Kyrie's a better player than Kemba Walker.
Matt Natick, quick Bruins thought. Go.
Yeah, quickly. I think you're being a little hard on the Bruins, but
what? They just lost in five. What am I supposed to do? They won the President's Trophy as the best team in the league and then just got blown out of here in five games. I should be harder on I actually think I've gone easy on him, Matt.
About them if the Lightning get to the finals or even win the cup. That's all.
Yeah, I hope they do. You know, I frankly hope they do.
It'll make you feel better.
It does. And I am one of those guys that if you lose to the best and they're clearly the best, then oh well. You know, and it's like that mitigates it. It's versus last year where you have a very beatable team in St. Louis who, again, I'm going to tell you like you're way better than them, but St. Louis is in your class. I think Tampa's out of your class. And if they go and improve it with the cup and it's just their year, then that should make you feel a little bit better.
I mean, to me, that was like one of the big takeaways from this series. You look at that and you say, they didn't have to play that last year. They didn't have to play that team. They didn't have to play Washington. They didn't have to play anybody. They got Columbus and Carolina. Carolina in the conference final. Columbus in the conference semi. That's what they got for their road. That, to me, really what it crystallized was what a blown opportunity last year was.
One last segment of your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Van Vliet switches to the left hand, drives into the teeth of the defense. Oh, Tice just wants the shot.
Great job,
here comes
Tice.
Tatum the other way. Tatum, kick out, smart. He's due, three in the air, got it. Doesn't make one until it matters. Tatum, deep on the right side. Tice comes a long way out to set a screen to get Powell off him. Tatum whips the pass out to Marcus Smart, launches a deep three, got it again.
And when he gets on the roll, man, he can make some things happen.
Boston within four. Good one between his legs. Tatum, return to Marcus Smart. Oh, not three in a row. Bang!
Man, that's what you do. That's how you bust the bubble.
Smart throws that body in the pile. Gets a screen from Daniel Tice. Marcus Smart, step back, crazy three, and he drills it again to tie the game. You've got to be kidding me with this guy.
No, you're not kidding me. That's what you do. Bubble buster!
Tatum down the right side. Kick out to the corner. Swung from Grant Williams to Marcus Smart. Maybe they can. It's three in the air. It's good. And he got fouled.
Man, give me some ketchup, somebody. Somebody just spill it on my hot dog. Marcus Smart. Baby, are you real right now?
Marcus Smart is the only one in the world who can struggle, go into the phone booth, and come out as Marcus Smart.
Ooh, man. He's got a little pump fake, gets his man up in the air, barely hit him on the arm, but he'll take it, and one, and another one. 4-point play.
Free throw. Got it. Marcus Smart has all 16 Boston points in the quarter. And the Celtics have come from 12 down to lead 86-85.
Meanwhile, it's Marcus Smart. Holy crap. Back to your thoughts. Chris in Maine. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Sorry if the connection stinks, but just one quick point. I'm just about the same age as the both of you, and I grew up south of Boston, and I just think it's pretty cavalier that Maz is throwing around the Celtics should lose thing. You guys were both at the Herald in 2007. I have two words for you. Michael D.
Yeah, that was the infamous. I mean, Chris, you are old enough to remember. Michael Gee wrote that about the Patriots.
He did, yeah.
In the middle of 07.
What are their chances of winning 11 in a row or something?
He said, but he said, want a loss. You want a loss. And you know what? Michael Gee was right.
He was 100% right.
He was right.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel.
Like Easter.
Yeah, look, a lot of those NFL, great teams in history, they lose a game. Right? The Niners went 18-1. Didn't the Giants go 18-1 one year?
The Bears in 85.
Yes. Like, there is that one loss that makes them say, well, that's not going to happen again. We're not going to let that happen again. The Patriots in 07 didn't have that until the end. It was too late. So I just think it can be a motivator. That's all. And I know it's asinine. Like you say, well, football's a little different, right? But even so, I would tell you that those teams that lose once, the really great ones, and they get pissed.
Okay,
they get pissed.
Long story short, you still think the Celtics need to get spanked here?
I think they need to be challenged. Last night was a step in the right direction.
They were challenged last night.
I said that. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I'm agreeing with that point. Yes, I'm getting chastised now, even when I say things that you agree with. This is the point it's reached.
You said a step in the right direction.
It was a step in the right direction. I think it would still serve them to lose. I think it would. It would serve them to lose.
That's what I need you to say. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, last night wasn't enough.
So I would like to see them struggle, not shoot well one right, and lose by 13.
They didn't shoot that well. Kemba Walker didn't shoot that well last night.
In the fourth quarter, they did.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown has been ice cold offensively. At least you're getting some good defense out of him.
I think it could make them better. That's all. It could make them better to lose a game.
Larry and Stoughton, your thoughts on the Patriots. Go ahead, Larry.
I'm not saying to do it on purpose.
How are you guys doing this afternoon?
We're fine.
I'm just calling you guys to give you a little history lesson. Number one, the two greatest coaches of all time in sports is Red Auerbach, and then comes Bill Belichick. Number two, every Patriot that's ever been a Patriot, I don't think any of them have been great superstars. Number three, Tom Brady is not a great athlete. He just had a great coach teach him that set up a system only for him. He doesn't throw bombs down to 10 yards to Wes Walker. Who's Wes Walker? He was a nobody. With Julian Edelman, he was a quarterback. Belichick is what builds it all. Now, you guys take a moment of your time to understand, all due respect, but you guys are like the devil's advocates, and when the Patriots win the division this year, I'm going to send you guys cheerleader uniforms. All right?
Okay, babe, send us the pom-poms. I'm all for it. I haven't won the division, too. I'm sketchy. The opt-outs have changed my mind a little bit. But I generally, like, he overstated it. Like, Belichick made Tom Brady. I'm not in that camp. But I think Bill was a big piece of Brady, and that's why I'd like to see Stidham or Hoyer, so it's more Bill and his influence. I really get to see it. I think Cam Newton could go off on his own without any influence from Bill because he's just such a great athlete and, you know, a singular talent that it's going to be hard to tell. Is that Bill or is that Newton just running around making plays? So it makes it less of an argument. That's why I'm rooting for one of those other guys.
So, look, can I just say quickly that he compared Bill to Red Auerbach? And what I would tell you is...
I think it's a fair comparison.
I think Bill's better. I think he's better. So what I think what Red is, was Red knew how to build a roster. He was a master manipulator when it came to personnel, but at the end of the day, that sport's about the players. And he was a great psychologist. But as an actual tactical coach, Bill blows him out of the water. Please, Red Auerbach, a basketball coach in the same breath as Bill Belichick. No way. I say Bill's way better than Red. Now, just quickly, because he asked a question, though, that I'm interested in. I don't think I've ever asked you.
Go ahead.
Now that he said it, which is, you know, he built the system around Brady. Wasn't the system already there and Brady learned it? Or did they build the system around Brady? In other words, this whole short passing game, did they want Bledsoe to execute that and he couldn't? Or did, you know, and then when Brady...
It's a fair point. I think they want a quarterback who's a quick decision maker. And Bledsoe wasn't. And Bill used to, you know, when Bill was a coach in Cleveland or with the Jets, they used to exploit that for against Bledsoe. Blitz him up the middle, make him make a quick decision, and he couldn't. So I think Bill valued that. I think that's why he liked Brady to begin with when Brady was a rookie and they moved him up the depth chart. So it's sort of like a combination, but I think Brady gave Bill what he wanted, which is someone who thinks quick on the field, right? I mean, that makes sense. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, no, so I just, you know, that whole system thing. Did they build it around Brady or was it already in place and, you know, the structure was already in place and Brady fit it better?
I think Brady did what Bill wanted.
Okay.
Because I don't think Bill was never a huge Bledsoe guy. He just wasn't. And he didn't care that he could make all the throws and chuck it down the field and all of that. Bledsoe didn't think quickly on the field and Bill took advantage of that. Bill used to love Montana over Steve Young for that very reason. And he'd like, when he used to show us clips, it was a very short time, he would just show us clips. Of course, he showed us old Giants clips. But he would show just little plays from Joe Montana where he'd throw a three-yard little swing pass to Roger Craig, quick, in time, on rhythm, perfectly on the outside shoulder where Craig could run for 14 yards and made a play out of it. And then he'd show Steve Young making the same throw to Tom Rathman or whoever their back was at the time. And it was a little bit behind him. He got tackled for a 4-yard gain. He said that's the difference between Steve Young and Joe Montana. It was a big difference. So I think that's what Bill valued and Brady brought him what he valued. So
that's what he's going to want out of Newton then, quick decisions.
Right, which is why I don't think Newton's a great fit for him.
I think they're going to simplify it for him. This whole thing that, and some Perillo said, the throwing of the backs, and again, I'm not talking about Edelman. I'm just saying Bill's going to simplify it to do things that Newton can do quickly. I'm convinced of that.
Okay, I'm not sure Newton can do it. And I don't think that was the plan. I think they thought Stidham was going to be that guy. And Bill's going to mold him and put him in that system and have him play that way. And then they lost confidence in Stidham over the offseason. That's what I think happened. Tyler in Manchester on the Pats upcoming season. What, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? I just had a quick take on the Pats upcoming season.
Go.
What do you think is going to be the outcome playing with no crowd?
I think it's going to help you, frankly.
I mean, certain road games are. I mean, that one in Seattle already said they're not going to have fans at that one. So what I looked at as an automatic loss is now a coin flip.
So, I mean, what I think is that your home field advantage when it comes to crowd noise is minimal.
At best.
It's really not a loud crowd down there. We all know it, right? You stand up, they tell you to sit down. It's a chafe, and it's not a loud stadium. So I don't think you gain much crowd noise-wise. You gain because Bill's screwing around with the locker room temperature and like all this other stuff, and you're so good. Like, that's why you've had a great home field advantage, but it's not crowd noise. You don't have a crowd noise advantage.
Warm Gatorade.
Right? That stuff. You're piling up the snow behind the Dolphins bench, you know, putting the thermostat there at their tunnel and not at your, like, all that stupid crap.
Putting Zolak in the opposing coach's headset.
Stuff like this, exactly. That's why, but it's not, you don't have a great crowd noise advantage here. How often at Gillette Stadium do you draw the opponent offsides from crowd noise? It's like almost never. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you go to Kansas City or Denver or Seattle.
It's routinely.
You can't get, you have to go silent. How often do opponents have to go silent snap count at Gillette?
I mean, the Patriots played a AFC championship game in Denver where their guys couldn't get it right.
This is what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, there's stadiums across the league where the quarterback needs to go silent because of the crowd. It never happens here. So I don't think you're losing any crowd noise from not having crowds. Yet you go to Kansas City and Seattle, huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it plays to your advantage. How about this? We had Mike Florio earlier say that the Pats are the fourth best team in the league. He's got them fourth in the Mike Florio power rankings. And that Cam Newton's better than Tom Brady at this point. Tom and Quincy wants to react to that. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm kind of in Jim Murray's camp along with the anti-Florio stuff. Because some of the stuff he comes out and says, because someone please tell me, how the hell is Newton, coming off injury, who lost his job to Kyle Allen, who Kyle Allen has since moved teams and couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins in Washington, and Brady last year threw for over 4,000 yards and 24 touchdowns. So how in the world is Newton, coming off those injuries, no one knows what the hell the offense is going to look like, what the hell kind of shape he's in, if he can figure it out, or what? This is a total grasp. So for him to say that Cam Newton is an upgrade over last year's Brady, I hope he's right, but I don't see that by any stretch whatsoever.
I found his commentary a stretch as well, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Fourth in the league?
Fourth in the league?
In the league.
I mean, I can rattle off 10 teams right now.
I mean, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Belichick, they would be in the running for Trevor Lawrence. You know, I just have them competing for the division and being a top 10, top 12 kind of team, because the division's going to puke on itself as usual, and Bill's going to coach his ass off and give you, you know, 3 to 5 wins you might not get. Like, I think he's worth that. Otherwise, this team's a top, you know, going in the top 10 of the draft next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all Bill.
Yeah, when I heard him say that, I said, is this guy high?
I mean, Perillo, again today, he's now like the third person. Everyone's commentary starts with, what do you think of the team this year?
It is. There's just like, there's this huge like sigh. Yeah.
When it's like, oh.
When sunshine.com says work in progress, you know how badly they must blow?
Seriously, yeah. What do you think? Yeah. Hey, are you concerned at all about N'Keal Harry? Concern is a good word.
Yeah.
Concern is a good word. That's what he said. Wow.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. Tough day for Maz, with all his Celtics predictions going wrong. Robert Williams goes off last night, at least in the first quarter. Celtics now up 2-0 on the Toronto Raptors. So let's revisit a whole day of bashing Maz.
Joe in Danvers on Marcus Smart. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Maz. You know,
Marcus Smart? He was a 6th overall draft pick.
I'm aware of that.
I'm so surprised he's draining these threes. Kemba was a number 9 pick, and he's 30 years old. Marcus is 26 years old. This guy's the future of the team. We haven't even begun to peak yet.
Okay, Mike in Nashua, all aboard the Seas train, Mike.
Cody, you got to hop on board.
No, thanks.
I get out. Man, aren't you enjoying the ride?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it. Jimmy in New Hampshire from Mass. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Mass, I give you a lot of credit for being able to laugh at yourself because your take yesterday was just so horrific. Somebody could not be more wrong, but I'm starting to question your basketball knowledge.
John in New Bedford. Go ahead, John, on Time Lord.
Gentlemen, great show. Mass, I'll give you a comparison. The other day I called and I said he was Stojko Brankovic. That's a little rough. He's moved up to never nervous Purvis Ellison. Okay, and then he's going to come crashing down just like Perv did and just like those mediocre Celtics did with Dino Rogers shooting 17-footers in the corner.
Okay, so
he's going to blow, Maz. Okay. He's going to blow.
That's John in New Bedford on your side.
Brian. Yeah, Maz, you're wrong about everything. Why do you even open your yappa? And I would say, I do it, Brian, to piss you off. Okay, then can I give you another one?
Yep.
Let me give you a couple here. This one from some scummer. That's what happens when you think anyone that isn't an instant Hall of Famer sucks. The way you gauge young players is so childish. So what if it is?
It's actually true. If they're not a top 3 player, they suck. That's how you analyze basketball players.
Okay, Alfred Finkelstein on Twitter. Yeah, Maz, you crapped on him all day, Maz. That's right, Alfred, I did. And I'll do it again. Graham Walsh. Yeah, Tony, you suck always. So do you, Graham. You suck too, pal. Fitz Von Erich. Yeah, there's a Blanami foreman. That one I liked. I have to admit, I chuckled at that one. Travis. Yeah, how'd that bet work out for you, Maz? I lost. Jackass. Obviously, I lost. Like, what'd you think was going to happen? Of course, I'm never going to get that one shoved down my throat. Gatch says, yeah, you suck. You blow. And I would say, Gatch, you smell. How do you like that? Kenneth. Yeah, man, suck it. Kenneth, eat me. Ted says, suck. Fart.
Is that really what he wrote?
Yeah, he did.
Suck a fart?
Suck, period, A, period, fart, period. I did. I chuckled out loud when I read that one.
That's a new one for me.
That's pretty fun. And the last one I got was from Soul Man, who said, yeah, F off, Tony. And I would say, I deserve it. It's fine. No problem. Suck a fart. That's a good one.
That is, really.
Yeah, that one. I'm going to use that.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
All right. Final word is over. That's going to be that. Maz, what's coming up on the baseball reporters?
Yeah, how about those Red Sox?
Oh, Jesus.
Woo! So, look, we've had a limited number of programs this week. And, we had the one on Monday, but then the Celtics played last night. So I do want to go back to the trading deadline. I want to go back to High and Bloom. Also, Jackie Bradley was made available to the media and was asked about whether, you know, the team has expressed to him its desire to have him back. He gave what Jimmy Stewart pointed out was an interesting answer, and I've listened to it, and I would agree. Very interesting answer by Jackie Bradley. Thank also, Ron Redicky was asked how he keeps his sanity in the midst of all this. And the end of the answer is pretty entertaining. But we'll start with Bloom and the trading deadline and some of the stuff he said at the beginning of the week.
Baseball reporters, 90 seconds away. Just an update. No commercials. Then you get Maz. We're back at tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to everybody then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.